Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 234. O Master, let me walk with Thee in lowly paths of service free. Tell me Thy secret. Help me to bear the strain of toil, the fret of care. Hymn number 234. The scriptural will be given by Imogene from Australia.
The Bible, Revelation. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And the city lieth four square. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honour into it. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our Father,
who is art in heaven.
Our Father, Mother God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One,
thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 183. Make haste, O man, to do whatever must be done. Thou hast no time to lose in sloth, when all to truth must come. Hymn number 183. Welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin our Sunday mornings here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, where we discuss this week's lesson, other subjects that need to be covered, and learn how to practice better in our lives Christian Science. And we had another really good one this morning. So if you missed it, or if you'd like to hear it again, You can find it on our website, plainfieldcs.com. And you can also find it on our YouTube channel and our Vimeo channel. We have a Sunday school for children that meets at 11 a.m. And that Sunday school is available for children just about anywhere. It has its own dedicated teleconference number. And many of our Sunday school students don't live in the area, but attend via telephone. And that means that if you don't live in the area and have a child of Sunday school age, your child can also attend via telephone. Just call the church number, and we will give you the number for the Sunday school, and our Sunday school teachers will be very happy to welcome your child to our Sunday school. We have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8 p.m., 8:15 p.m., where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives drastically improved by the study and practice of Christian Science. And at all of our services and meetings, we have a nursery available for young children and infants and toddlers. So if you do live in the area and attend, you can bring the whole family. And I wanted to point out that we are going to have one more Bible study before we break for the summer. And we have scheduled our next Bible study session for Saturday morning, May 17. That'll be 10 a.m. Saturday morning on May 17. So mark your calendars and be prepared to join us. And we will let you know when the study questions are available on the website. They should be there soon. Speaking of websites, we have 18 different websites in 18 different languages. This is our missionary work. We are providing the very finest Christian Science literature to people around the world, and we're very grateful for those who have found one or more of our websites, have found the healing comfort of Christian Science in their own language. And one of the articles that's currently featured on our English language website is one I'd like to recommend. It's entitled The Process of Healing by Martha Wilcox. If anybody ever wondered what Christian healing is all about, well, this is a good article. Everyone is welcome here. And that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now we will have the reading of a testimony of healing from Science and Health, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Lisa from Ohio.
Page 662, a testimony from Scotland. I came to Christian Science purely for physical healing. I was very ill and unhappy, very cynical and disbelieving in regard to what I heard of God and religion. I tried to live my life in my own way and put religion aside. I was a great believer in faith and in willpower and thought to put them in the place of God, with the consequence that I was led to do many rash and foolish things. I am now thankful to say that my outlook on life is entirely changed. I have proved God's wisdom and goodness so often that I am willing and thankful to know my future is in His hands and that all things must work out for the best. I have found a God whom I can love and worship with my whole heart, and I now read my Bible with interest and understanding. I was healed of very bad rheumatism simply by reading Science and Health. I had tried many medicines, also massage, with no result, and the doctors told me that I would always suffer from this disease as it was inherited, and also because I had rheumatic fever when a child. I suffered day and night, and nothing relieved me until science proved to me the falseness of this belief by removing it. I gave up all the medicines I was taking and have never touched any since, and that is more than 2 years ago. Before this, I had often tried to do without a medicine that I had taken every day for 10 years, but was always ill and had to return to it until I found out that one mind is the only medicine, and then I was freed from the suffering. I had also suffered constantly from bilious attacks, colds, and a weak chest, and had been warned not to be out in the wet weather, etc. But now, I am glad to say I am quite free from all those material laws and go out in all sorts of weather. R.D.F., Edinburgh, Scotland.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural texts and their correlative passages from our textbook, these comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the word of our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts in their denominational, spiritual import and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth, uncontaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. And today's lesson sermon can be found on page 8 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: Probation After Death. The golden text is from 1 John. God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. The responsive reading is from 1 John and 1 Peter. This is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another.
We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death.
Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him.
Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren.
For as much, then, as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that suffereth in the flesh hath ceased from sin.
And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins.
Use hospitality one to another without grudging,
that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
I will read from the Bible. 1 John. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. John. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees, and told them what things Jesus had done. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Acts. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? If we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Florence will now read.
I will read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. To reach heaven, the harmony of being, we must understand the divine principle of being, God is love. Jesus' teaching and practice of truth involves such a sacrifice as makes us admit its principle to be love. This was the precious import of our Master's sinless career and of his demonstration of power over death. He proved by his deeds that Christian Science destroys sickness, sin, and death. Our Master taught no mere theory, doctrine, or belief. It was the divine principle of all real being which he taught and practiced. His proof of Christianity was no form or system of religion and worship, but Christian Science working out the harmony of life and love. The Master said plainly that physique was not spirit, and after his resurrection, he proved to the physical senses that his body was not changed until he himself ascended, or in other words, rose even higher in the understanding of Spirit God. To convince Thomas of this, Jesus caused him to examine the nail prints and the spear wound. Jesus' unchanged physical condition after what seemed to be death was followed by his exaltation above all material conditions. And this exaltation explained his ascension and revealed unmistakably a probationary and progressive state beyond the grave. Jesus was the way. That is, he marked the way for all men. In his final demonstration called the Ascension, which closed the earthly record of Jesus, he rose above the physical knowledge of his disciples, and the material senses saw him no more. Jesus mapped out the path for others. He unveiled the Christ, the spiritual idea of divine love. To those buried in the belief of sin and self, living only for pleasure or the gratification of the senses, he said in substance, "Having eyes ye see not, and having ears ye hear not, lest ye should understand and be converted, and I might heal you." He taught that the material senses shut out truth and its healing power. Meekly, our Master met the mockery of his unrecognized grandeur. Such indignities as he received, his followers will endure until Christianity's last triumph. He won eternal honors. He overcame the world, the flesh, and all error, thus proving their nothingness. He wrought a full salvation from sin, sickness, and death. We need Christ and Him crucified. We must have trials and self-denial, as well as joys and victories, until all error is destroyed. Trials teach mortals not to lean on a material staff, a broken reed which pierces the heart. We do not half remember this in the sunshine of joy and prosperity. Sorrow is salutary. Through great tribulation, we enter the kingdom. Trials are proofs of God's care. Spiritual development germinates not from seeds sown in the soil of material hopes, but when these decay, love propagates anew the higher joys of spirit, which have no taint of earth. Each successive stage of experience unfolds new views of divine goodness and love. universal salvation, rest on progression and probation, and is unattainable without them. Heaven is not a locality, but a divine state of mind in which all the manifestations of mind are harmonious and immortal, because sin is not there, and man is found having no righteousness of his own, but in possession of the mind of the Lord, as the scripture says. In the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. So we read in Ecclesiastes. This text has been transformed into the popular proverb, as the tree falls, so it must lie. As man falleth asleep, so shall he awake. As death findeth mortal man, so shall he be after death, until probation and growth shall effect the needed change. Mind never becomes dust. No resurrection from the grave awaits mind or life, for the grave has no power over either. Today, the healing power of truth is widely demonstrated as an eminent, eternal science instead of a phenomenal exhibition. Its appearing is the coming anew of the gospel of on-earth peace, goodwill toward men. This coming, as was promised by the Master, is for its establishment as a permanent dispensation among men. But the mission of Christian Science now, as in the time of its earlier demonstration, is not primarily one of physical healing. Now, as then, signs and wonders are wrought in the metaphysical healing of physical disease. But these signs are only to demonstrate its divine origin, to attest the reality of the higher mission of the Christ power to take away the sins of the world. The physical healing of Christian Science results now, as in Jesus' time, from the operation of divine principle, before which sin and disease lose their reality in human consciousness and disappear as naturally and as necessarily as darkness gives place to light and sin to reformation. Now as then, these mighty works are not supernatural, but supremely natural. They are the sign of Emmanuel, or God with us, a divine influence ever present in human consciousness.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 304. The words of this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. Shepherd, show me how to go o'er the hillside steep, how to gather, how to sow, how to feed thy sheep. I will listen for thy voice, lest my footsteps stray. I will follow and rejoice all the rugged way. Hymn number 304.
He will make a way.
Let's now sing hymn number 290. Press on, ye sons of light, untiring in your holy fight, still treading each temptation down and battling for a brighter crown. Hymn number 290.
I will read from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. 2 Corinthians. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Amen.